Greetings, brothers and sisters. It's a privilege to be gathered together with you all, and very much appreciated the words that we've heard this morning already. Thank you, Brother Ben, Brother Leroy, for stirring our thoughts and our hearts towards God as we think about Christ's love and his desire to come and abide with us. Really appreciated all those thoughts. Those of you that are able, could we kneel for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, we're grateful to be gathered together with your people this morning. We thank you for the privilege of being able to look into your word and to challenge our hearts and to stir up our minds. Father, we ask that today you would do that in each of our hearts. Do it in my heart, and we pray that we could grow more and more into your image as we look into your word and as we ponder the path of our feet. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. The title of my thoughts today is Ponder the Path. You may recognize the scripture that comes from in Proverbs. We'll look at that here after a bit. But before we do that, I'd like for you all to join me in a short mental exercise as a backdrop for what I want to share. I'd like for us to lay aside the thoughts of yesterday, the thoughts of tomorrow and the coming week, people behind you, the people sitting behind you, and the people sitting in front of you. And let's think together about the scene that we're going to describe here. So you've heard that someone that you knew very well has passed away, and you've made plans to come to the funeral. The funeral's planned to be here at this church house, so you make plans to come, drive your vehicle here into the parking lot, and you park, get out, and you walk in the back doors here. You step inside, and you notice there's many people already gathered. And as we normally do when we arrive somewhere and there's a gathering, we look around, we see the expressions on the faces of those who are there, who are already here. And being that it's a funeral, you see on the faces of those around, you see a mix of sadness, the sadness of parting, and also you see that expression, those expressions, is mixed with love, appreciation, and joy of having known a life well lived to the glory of God and to the blessing of those around him. So there's an opportunity before the service begins to view the body. So you make your way up along this side of the auditorium here, come around the front, and the casket's sitting here in the front. You come up to the casket, you pause there, and you look. It's yourself lying in the casket. 3 years from today, it's your funeral. 3 years from today. After a moment, you continue on past, walk, and you're ushered to find a seat. You sit down, and as you're waiting for the service to begin, you open a little pamphlet that you were given when you entered, and you take note of who the speakers are, who's going to be sharing. You notice that there's four speakers who are planning to share some thoughts about your life, what they remember of your life. You look at the names. There's one from your immediate family who will speak, another from our church congregation, another is a friend of yours, not from church necessarily, and a fourth one is someone that you worked with at your job, a coworker. And as you sit there and wait for the service to begin, you ponder, what will they share about? What will be what, when your earthly life, when my earthly life has ended, what will be the, what will remain in the hearts of those who knew me and whom I knew? What will remain in their hearts after I'm gone? What will be the story of my life that they will tell? How will I have impacted the lives of the others who are finding their seats, waiting for the service to begin? Let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. And we're going to read the verse where our title comes from. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. The word ponder has a couple different ideas, but one of them is to weigh mentally, to think about, to see, is this, what's the weight of this path? Is it the right path? Is it the path that I want to be on? That's what we want to do this morning. We want to ponder the path of our feet. And if you joined me in imagining this scene that I described to you of our own funeral, you've focused your mind's vision on the end of your earthly path. Describing this scene like what I just did is not original with me, but I've found it to be a useful challenge in my own life, because the Bible calls us to this kind of consideration of the future. The scene that I just described, we didn't touch on what does God think about our life. What does he remember of our life? But as 1 John says, if we don't love our brother whom we can see, how can we love God whom we haven't seen? So then, if we haven't demonstrated a Christian life to those around us, well then, it's unlikely that God saw a Christian life either. As human beings, we have a strong tendency towards focusing just here on the here and the now. And when we talk about pondering the path of our feet, that's not just thinking about the very next step that I'm going to take. It has the idea of, it says, ponder the path, ponder the track, the road, it's lifting up our vision and recognizing that we're on a path, a journey, something that is taking us somewhere where we are not yet. And we hear the idea about, it's a good idea, of having vision, young people with a vision, older people with a vision. And sometimes I've puzzled a little bit about what exactly does having vision look like? What does it mean? I can recognize it in some ways, but how would you tangibly describe a vision? It's not something that's quite tangible, but how could you practically simply define it? And as I've been thinking about it, I would suggest that vision is simply having the ability, having vision is simply having the ability to lift up our eyes and look to the end of our path. I don't think it has to be any more complicated than that. Vision. Now, when we say that, now it becomes obvious, if we put it that way, that having vision is not enough by itself, because you can be on any path and look ahead. There's many, I suppose that some of this world's billionaires probably had a vision. Pray that it's a very different vision than what any of us have here this morning. But vision is looking up from the next step that we have to take and looking ahead and seeing what is all the way at the end of our path, looking all the way to the end. A person of vision looks far ahead to the end of the path to see where it is taking him. And as I mentioned, having vision does not make it a good vision automatically. If you look through the history in the Bible and anywhere else and find anyone who lived a worthwhile life, I would suggest to you that you will see someone who was willing to ponder his path and consider, at least in a small measure, where that path was taking him. It's unlikely that one who lives a worthwhile life will be able to just think about the next step. He will need to, at some point, lift up his eyes and have vision. How else can we make sure we get to where we want to be when we're lying in the casket? How can we have the right kind of ending that we want to have? Except we lift up our eyes and have vision. I'd like to look at three examples in the Bible of individuals who made conscious choices at different times in their lives to focus their vision on the end of their path. So I invite you to turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12. We're going to first look at the example of Jesus Christ. He needed to have vision. He had vision. He needed to lift up his eyes and look to the end of his path. We'll look at Hebrews chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. It begins with talking about us, but it's going to describe something about Jesus having vision. Hebrews 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. There he's thinking about that joy that was at the end of his path. He had vision to where he lifted up his eyes. Even though there was difficulty in the moment, he looked all the way to the end and he saw joy. The joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. There was a cross and there was shame in the present, but he didn't just look at this cross and the shame, the two steps right in front of him, but he looked all the way to the end. He had vision to see the end of the path that he was on. He pondered the path of his feet. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. He was experiencing difficulty in the present, contradiction of sinners against himself. He was enduring difficulty, but he looked ahead. He saw the joy of being at the right hand of the throne of God. And so he had vision. He looked all the way to the end. He needed that motivation of considering the joy that would come at the end of his path. Let's flip back just to Hebrews 11, and we're going to find our other two examples here in this chapter. We'll look at verse 8, and we're looking here at the life of Abraham. He's another one who had vision. Beginning in verse 8, By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. And here's the part about vision: for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham was one who wanted to make sure that when he got to the end of his life, that he had something that would be enduring. He didn't want to get to the end and find that there was nothing worthwhile that he had achieved in life, and so he was looking for something, and it affected how he lived. We'll get more to that later, but he was looking for something enduring. He wanted to find a city which hath foundations, built by God. He had vision. He was looking to the end of his path. Dropping down to verse 13, I think it's speaking also of Abraham, but in general, all who have lived lives of faith, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off. There's our vision again. And were persuaded of them and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Wherefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. This group of people had a vision of where their path was going to take them, and they valued that end. It says they embraced it. That speaks to me of values. We'll come back to that subject of values here shortly, but they were looking to the end. They saw something, that's with vision, and then they embraced it. They valued that. We'll kind of touch on that again, but dropping down to verse 23, we'll look at the life of Moses just briefly as our third example of someone who very intentionally lifted up his gaze to the end of his path. Verse 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Moses looked at the end of his path, and he saw that he wanted the end of his path. When he died, he wanted to be among the people of God. That was something that he had a vision for. He did not want to be Pharaoh's daughter and be a ruler in the land of Egypt. He wanted to be among the people of God. And he saw that there is a reward from serving God that would come to his life if he made that choice. And his values shifted to where he gladly suffered affliction with the children of Israel. He saw something in his vision that was not yet visible physically. It says he endured as seeing him who is invisible. It was still invisible, but he cultivated that ability in his heart and his life to look ahead and see where he was going and what he wanted the end of his path to be. So we have those three examples of Christ, of Abraham, and of Moses. And there's many other examples of those who, throughout the scriptures, they chose very consciously to ponder the path of their feet. So let's shift back again to thinking about the funeral that we described earlier, our own funeral, 3 years from today. So you think about, I said there were four people who were going to share, someone from your family, someone from your church, a friend of yours, and a coworker. And I'd like to just take a few minutes here. I'd like to hear from you all. I'm going to write here on the board, what are some of those things that come to your mind when you think of what would be a good testimony to leave behind? We're going to categorize them under those four categories. So let's think about family. I have some written down here, but I'd like to hear your thoughts. What's important when we think about family, when someone from your immediate family stands up to share at your funeral? Thinking of others. Testimony that you were one who was constantly thinking of others. Amen.
Patient.
Amen. We have others?
Sacrificing to prioritize family time.
Amen. Is that spelled right? Sacrificing. Let's see, that looks like too many eyes. Is that right? Sacrificing for family time. I'll just write sacrificing for family. What other thoughts? I'll tell you what I have here. Some of you I've had more time to think about this than what I'm giving you here in this moment. So one of the things I think about as parents, we want children who are taught the fear of the Lord. Amen. Children who fear the Lord. I also wrote down God's character accurately displayed to my family. God's character displayed. Are there others that you all have thought of? How about children who are growing in the path of wisdom? I think about that because it seems unlikely that we'll be able to teach our children everything that they need to know. They'll face things that we haven't had to face. But if they were on the path of growing in wisdom, wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Because if they are growing in wisdom, whatever they face in the future, they would know where to go for wisdom, be growing in that, and be able to be growing in the ability to make wise choices. So children growing in the path of wisdom. Let's think about church. When a brother or sister from church shares about your life and my life, what would we like to hear? What would we think that God would be well pleased to hear? What do we want to leave behind as a testimony?
Having a listening ear.
Having a listening ear. Amen. I'm just going to write listening so we don't fill up the board too much.
others.
I'm sorry?
Loyal and committed.
Amen. I'll just write loyal.
Caring for the needs of others.
Amen. I'll write caring. Caring for the needs of others.
Humility. Clothed in humility.
How about loved the brotherhood? It's actually a command that the Bible gives us.
Other thoughts?
Serving.
A servant's heart, amen.
Generous. I also had written down laboring for the good of the body of Christ. And that's encompassed a lot by what we just wrote down here. Think of the song that says, the phrase of the song, for her my tears shall fall, for her my prayers ascend, to her my toils and cares be given, till toils and cares shall end. I think that would summarize some of what we've just heard, what we've been just listening here. How about our friends, those whom we have made friends with, not necessarily from your family, work, or church, but people who know you in the community, different ones. What should be the testimony that we'd like to have there? Or any friends?
Positive outlook on life.
Amen.
Diligent.
Yes, someone of conviction who is a thermostat, not a thermometer. I'll just write conviction.
Honest.
Honest. Amen.
I thought of one very basic, loving our neighbors as ourselves.
And I think some of the ones that we've written down under church and family could also fit well there. Caring, we care for others, and also generous could be, you know, maybe ones that we could also fit under there. Any others?
An encourager.
Encourager, amen. Encourager. If I'm misspelling anything, let me know. Yes.
A lot of people pursue wealth, but I'm trying to figure out where it belongs.
Say the first part again.
A lot of people pursue wealth, but I'm trying to figure out where it belongs on your list.
It might fit in under the next one we'll move right into. I'm not sure. You'll help me out on this. But we're going to think about our co-worker sharing. It could very well fit under the friends. I'm not sure exactly how we should word it, but those looking on, what do they see us pursuing? What would we, let's see, how would we word that? Someone have an idea?
Content.
There we go. Maybe we'll put that under the friends here. I think we can fit that yet. I think that's a very good word for it.
Sacrificial.
Is that right? Did I get that spelled right? All right. Some spelling is a little more challenging up here. Another thing I think of is when we think about a co-worker, I think of focused on blessing others in and through our work.
focused on blessing others. And that would flow a little bit along with what Brother Abner was saying when we think about, are we pursuing wealth or is the work, when we get together to work, can others see that we're endeavoring constantly to be a blessing to others rather than focusing selfishly on ourselves? Focused on blessing others. Other thoughts?
Dependable.
Approachable. I thought of one. Yes.
I think
hospitable. That could be, could go just several different places. I'm going to mark that one over here with under friends. Thinking about under the work, spreading the savor of Christ. I'll just write down spreading Christ. Are there others?
One who's known to prioritize the things that really matter.
Yes. Prioritizing what really matters. Prioritizing what matters. Are there others? Our board is getting full, but I have space for a few more. Sorry?
Working as unto the Lord.
Working as unto the Lord. That would fit well down here. But I'm going to write it up here for lack of space. Working as to Christ. That's quite a list. The vision that we just wrote down, we wrote down some of our vision. And I don't know if you noticed, it's like the line between vision and values gets a little bit blurry when you start looking at this, because we're envisioning something, but what's showing up is our values. We've just listed quite a few values. And by definition, when you focus on the vision, on the end, the values start to show up, right? We didn't have to work hard to come up with a list of values when you start thinking about when you're in the casket, right? At least that's how it works for me. It's a lot easier to think of that when we're thinking about our end. So vision and values, in my mind, go very much hand in hand. But I would like to suggest, so I say that values are not something that is hard to get a hold of. In the past, when different ones would talk about what are our values, I would sometimes scratch my head over that a little bit, trying to think, so exactly how would you define that? We can see when values are different, you can see how they tend to lead to different places, but how would you define it? And so but I've concluded that one definition of values could simply be that values are a map of how we believe life should be. Values are a map of how we consider that life should be, how our lives should be. And so when we have what we've just written here, essentially could become a map for how we live our lives. You tracking with me? Because values are what lead us as we make the daily choices of our life's path. And this week, Brother Abner is going to be speaking some on our values. I think speaking on the topic, something to do with the world's values and God's values. And so when you have values, they're not just like vision not being automatically correct. Values are not automatically correct either. And that's the subject of Brother Abner's topics this week. But these values are not automatically correct. The values that are represented by what we wrote on the board here, they all look very good, right? If that's what we live by, you know, we're in good shape, right? But the thing is, the most concerning part is that what is written here is not what gets us off track. Because, after all, we wrote down the values that came to our minds. There's other values that we have that we didn't think of. And some of those many of them are good, but there might be the possibility that there are some of those that are not matching with what God wants our values to be. And so as we think about this week, and we look into God's Word, God's Word helps us to align ourselves, align these values, align whatever we hold as valuable, align it with His Word, and to correct those values when they become off track. And we'll hear more about that this week, I think. But the reason that our values are important is because the values that are represented by what we wrote down here and the ones we didn't write down are what we are using as a map for the choices we make today and the choices that we will make tomorrow. That's why our values become very important to us. So what about today? We've looked at our funeral. We've looked at what vision is, and those throughout the Word of God who have had vision, who've looked at the end, we've looked at our end, and we've concluded that these are some of the values that we want to embrace. But what about today? See, there's times where we wrote something very, very, very good here on the board, but is that what is actually happening in my life? Is that what I chose already this morning? The choices I made so far today, do they match with what we wrote down here? What about what I chose yesterday and this past week? Does that match with this map here? Or was there some other value that I didn't write down that was affecting my choices? So we can say that another way. If this is what I say my values are, does my life match? If in 3 years this is to be the story of my life, what do I need to change in how I live today? Are the values that I claim to have harmonious with my daily actions? And is what I am doing today matching with what I say I want the end of my path to be? So I think our message this morning will be a little bit shorter, but I like to go back to Proverbs 4:26, where we started. And we'd like to look at that just a little bit more and look at God's plan as we summarize God's plan for us living with the right values. We're going to read that verse again, Proverbs 4:26. Ponder the path of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Another way that we could say the second half, we're going to look especially at the second half of the verse there. It says, let all thy ways be established. The phrase, thy ways, could be also translated course of your life, course of life. And the part where it says be established, we could also translate that be erect, upright. So we could say, let the course of your life be erect. That comes immediately after the first part of the verse, which says, ponder the path of thy feet, or we could say, weigh the track of your feet. Consider where you're walking and allow that to guide the rest of the course of your life into becoming erect. This proverb just gives us a very basic outline. Look, ponder, and allow that to guide you when you see where you're headed. Allow that to begin to shift how you're living. This is an ongoing exercise that I've spent a little bit of time on. Many of you older ones, you know that this needs to be an ongoing thing throughout our lives, to be considering the path, be considering the path of our feet and allowing our ways to be established and looking repeatedly at this. I would suggest for any of you who want to go home and think about your funeral again. Write down the things that are specific. We wrote down ones from many of you different brothers here, and that was good, but write down the things that you're specifically come to your mind that you want the testimony of your life to be. Whether you're a father, a mother, son, daughter, write down what you want the testimony of your life to be. And then ask yourself, is what I wrote down matching with the choices I'm making today? What can I adjust? What choices do I need to start making? What choices do I need to stop making to bring my life into alignment with what I say I want at the end? Proverbs says in another place that without a vision, the people perish. Without looking up and looking to the end of our path, we perish. I believe it is healthy for us to regularly think about our vision of the end of our path and allow the pondering of our values. We ponder our values and our map that we are using to see, is it leading us where we want to go? And are the steps that we're taking today lining up with where we want to go? What we say we want to go? So may God bless each of you as we together ponder the path of our feet this week and each day. And by His grace, let all of our ways be established. There's one man who said that today is the first day of the rest of your life. God bless you.